And we're back here with Talk of the Town, and we're back with a guest. Representative Roger Victory is with us. Good morning, Roger.
Good morning, Drew. It's quite a blusterly morning out there, isn't it?
It is. It is.
I was kind of curious, did your power stay on, or did you lose service?
I didn't lose service, no.
Well, I know a number of people in our community are out of power, but hopefully we're just remarking a little bit before we went on the air, the dedication of those electrical line workers and kind of their line of work. And it seems like their call of duty is always when it's most adverse conditions out there. So I guess if you know a power line worker, say hello and thank them for their work they're doing on our behalf.
Restoring
the power.
A number of years ago, my son bought a generator so he could be up the creek when the power went out. But I think since the time he bought it, he's used it only once.
That's kind of how insurance works. Yeah, it's a good insurance policy. And I guess as a generator, if you don't need to use it, smile and thank the issue there. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's going on in the house?
Well, a couple of items. We had a fairly busy schedule going into our fall season here, and one of the House Bill 4724, it's called the Firefighters Bill. I was a co-sponsor of that. It passed the House.
Mm-hmm.
This was very important for members of our community, some of the townships, because there was a bargaining agreement that would prohibit specifically for the city of Grand Rapids, if you're a full-time firefighter, you would no longer be able to serve your local community, like a township, and serve them as a role of a part or paid on-call firefighter. I was very upset about this is because this restricted the I call freedom to serve.
Right.
If you're off time, and there was no other restrictions, you could do any other line of work. You could be a roofer in the construction industry or any other area, but they narrowed out one specific item, and that you couldn't serve your local township or community as a firefighter on a on paid on call basis. So it passed the House, and now this is going to the Senate. I'm hoping the Senate will take this up in orderly fashion because there's some time sensitivity with this, with their bargaining agreement with the City of Grand Rapids. Because
yeah.
A number, and also a Fire Chief Mike Keefe from Allendale Township. He came to Lansing and testified on this bill and the importance, how it has importance not just to Allendale, but through our greater community and throughout the state of Michigan.
A lot of them depend on the volunteer firemen.
And people don't realize the amount of training it takes to become a firefighter. And also, it actually is a two-way street because a number of these firefighters were getting their training at the local level, at the township level, and these townships were investing up to $6,000, $7,000 in training.
Right.
And then they could get hired in as a full-time firefighter in like a City of Grand Rapids scenario. So it is a two-way street, and this collaborative effort that we need to embrace because our budgets continue to shrink. We need to do more with less, and this is an example prohibiting of that example of doing more with less. So I hope this situation gets passed through here in a tidy order, and I appreciate my colleagues that took on the heavy lifting of this bill. And
I think Joe Hoffman was in on it.
Exactly, and we got to appreciate Joe Hoffman as sponsoring the bill as a co-sponsor and navigating this through and make sure that these firefighters can serve their local communities and protect our citizens.
Great idea.
It is.
Great idea. Yes, indeed. All right. And what else is on the...
Well, another area is dredging. I serve on Natural Resources Committee, which you know, Jute. And we took on some, looking at some set of bills here that will require a three-year study, make sure that these resources are being utilized where they're most in dire need to be utilized, and allocate a certain specific amount of money to be spent on the maintenance of the harbors.
Mm-hmm.
What's occurring is some of the funds we're probably utilizing to improve a parking lot. Well, if you can't get in the harbor because it's been silted over, what good does a paved parking lot do? And so this was this simple no-nonsense aspect of it, making sure that these resources are to be spent where they're most helpful to be utilized.
Yeah.
And basically, if you have a harbor, is keeping that harbor open. And, you know, just through the high winds we had, that's a critical issue because who knows how much sand and silt have been moved around these with that wave action, and that can put a strain on our harbors and accessibility to them. So that's why we need to have these maintain these studies to make sure that these resources are being applied to where their most critical needs are at.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they apply certain priorities to various harbors, is that right?
Right. Some are based on how much tonnage or cargo or is going in and out of the harbors, and that's where an issue like with Muskegon, they'll come into play where they lose that power plant, that coal-fired power plant. That
and we have it here
decrease
in Holland.
In Holland, too. So on the economy of scale of what the economic impact, so when you lose a some of that cargo going in and out, it sets a different ranking on the harbor. And then we, you know, sports people and, you know, for the recreational boaters, they rely on that there, too. So it's critical that we maintain a strong economic climate around these harbors so we can maintain those funding, that federal funding, too.
I don't know where Saugatuck comes in on that. Of course, they have...
They've been struggling, too. That's keeping that harbor open. And
yes.
One fortunately aspect of it is with this heavy rainfall we've been having this fall,
boy.
That's the easiest way to solve the dredging issue is raising water levels.
Yes, so,
last year, we were at the most critical low point, and it seems to be turning that around with the precipitation we had this past summer and throughout this fall season, and nature is starting to solve the issue, too. So,
well, it used to be about every 7 years it changed to high, low.
Correct. So hopefully we're starting to go on the upward momentum of these water levels, so that way we can get that tonnage in at an economic level. And there's also a certain level when you just can only do so much dredging.
I remember days in Saugatuck when we sandbagged the waterfront. Keep the water out.
Yeah, that was back in the 80s. Like I think 1986 was a high water mark.
Yeah.
And then we're concerned about losing those cottages, and that Lake Michigan beach erosion was a factor.
Yeah.
And now there's a lot of real estate along that spans out in these lower water events. So.
All right.
Yep.
395-1450 is our number if you'd like to talk to our representatives. Supporting will
too. So, when the need arises, please consider one of four Dykstra locations in Holland and Saugatuck. We would be honored to serve your family.
Our guest this morning is Representative Roger Victory, and if you want to talk to him, give us a call, 395-1450. We have to remember, Roger, that some people don't have power yet, and as a result, they may not have telephones, so they can't call in.
That's right. So they'll have to catch up next month. But I always appreciate hearing from the people, the constituents, and that's one of the enjoyable parts of the job is district hours, too.
Yeah.
I was in Coopersville this past week and hearing the concerns of the constituents in that area, and then also in Allendale, and also last week, too, we had Veterans Day, and it was a great opportunity to meet several veterans. And
yeah.
It was just to highlight that. I made a note here. At the state level, our unemployment rate among our veterans is down to 7.9%, and in 2011, it was 11.2%.
Really?
So, I was really happy to see that stat, especially after last week's Veterans Day and celebrations. And you know, and that's the one aspect of this job, meeting people. And I met a 90-year-old veteran who served at the Battle of Bulge, a Purple Heart recipient, and also a Bronze Star recipient there, and also had a dialogue with a 20-something-year-old veteran that was a educational major at Grand Valley University. So that broad spectrum of ages and those who served our country, and we have to be so grateful for them. But I was really happy to see that we're getting that unemployment rate for those veterans.
That's
down
great.
To a workable
and I
level.
Think right now we're making an effort to
exactly
hire veterans.
And the conscientiousness of our employers, and also at the state level, we did a lot of legislative reforms to qualify those skill sets that the veterans earn while they're serving their country, and taking those skill sets and applying them to the private sector and giving them credit for those qualifications, so that way they don't have to take on additional training. They can apply that training that they received in the military and put that right to the private sector and move more progressively in that direction.
Well, Roger, when I was in the infantry, I kind of wondered how I could use that talent after I got out.
That was during the Korean War era.
During the World War II.
World War II, yes.
I haven't found a good use for it yet.
Well, but you never, it was always, but those are certain skill sets that you learn, discipline and that sense of maturity that can be applied to many different areas of walks in life here.
Yep. Yeah, indeed. All right, 395-1450 is our number. What else you have there this morning, Roger?
Well, a couple other items. As I mentioned, some things we've been dealing with Natural Resources Committee. I also serve on the Ag Committee, Agricultural Committee, and we passed what we call the Potato Bill. This was a unique item to help the potato industry put for some assessments on themselves to raise research money. People, you know, we hear what happens in Washington, D.C. Earmark funding has been ceased to occur, and some of that was utilized for research for some of our commodity groups.
Okay.
So they wanted the opportunity to assess themselves, like I say, pull themselves up by bootstraps and provide that funding, generate that money themselves. So
okay.
We did some work to allow that to move forward.
Got a call here. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger. Well, I guess they didn't
must answer the question for them. Yeah.
Could be. So that was known as the potato bill.
Potato bill, yep. So, and realizing that Michigan is a major producer of the chip potatoes, the potatoes that go into the potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
Chips. So,
a new era up there, you know.
That's right, yep. So that's important for them because there's always certain diseases that come across, and it's specific to their industry, and it's a small, a lot of times there's a private sector doesn't come forward with research because it's such a narrow segment of the agricultural component. So they're pleased that they can take matters in their own hand,
mm-hmm.
and start solving their own problems on their own.
Yeah.
Time.
How do they police themselves on that?
Well, there's a commission, and they elect their board members for that. So
it's a
democratic process for making sure that that's wise investment of those dollars going forward. So they have a voice in that component.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What else we got?
Well, let's see. We also looking at one moment of a little tidbit of interest. The state Christmas tree has come to Lansing. It's a 71-foot blue spruce from Iron Mountain, UP.
Really?
So it's right in front of the Capitol, and on November the 22nd, they'll be lighting the, it's a big event in Lansing, lighting the tree, and it's a beautiful specimen. I had opportunity that last week, Tuesday, they were setting it up, actually with these electrical bucket trucks that probably are busy out there working on restoring energy or the electrical
yeah.
lines throughout the state right now, but last week, Tuesday, they had that set up, and it's a beautiful specimen, and it sits right in front of the Capitol there, and it's a
okay, got a call here. Good morning. You're on the line with Roger.
Yes, we'd like to know, crude oil is the cheapest it's been for decades. Why is it at $3.33 at the pumps? And we're really wondering why, and sometimes it jumps about 20 cents a mm-hmm. gallon in a half of a day. I'd like to have an answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good question. I noticed that, too. I thought we were going to hit to that $2.99 level, and just before
yeah.
we get to $2.99, I noticed last week it jumped back up to the 333 level the caller brought in, and the crude prices continue to come
drop.
Down. Yeah, and we're not into what we call the summer blend period of time. And during the summertime, there's additional cost in refining in the process. So, the caller has a good point. Why, with the low crude prices, and it seems to be holding that up and down.
Well, it's been spiking. My experience that the... the price of gas has little effect one way or the other on the price of oil or vice
mm-hmm.
versa.
Yep. There's other factors, as we had this past spring, a refining capacity issue, but that does not seem to be out there. But there's always some type of outlier that the industry justifies for some of these price swings. But also, we have sometimes a little more competitive pricing in certain regions of the state. You drive around, you can see 20 cent price swings in various areas. And I, with this opportunity serving as a state rep, I get to travel throughout the state.
Yeah.
And you'll see 25 to 30 cent price differential depending on what region of the state you're in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked a guy, and I was traveling in Missouri
mm-hmm.
one day, and I saw stations on both sides of the street, and I told the guy, I says, well, what determines when you raise the prices? He says, when the guy across the street does.
I think they call it the free market.
That's free market.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that's pretty much the way it goes, I think. I don't
yep.
know.
But there's other components with it. As I said, logistic concerns, if there's a pipeline issue. A lot of our logistics our infrastructure, I should say, is getting aged, and some areas... they have not been reinvesting it, and so when that goes down, there's not a lot of surplus capacity
mm-hmm.
in the system, so thus we have these erratic price swings.
Well, we don't seem to have much refining power in the state.
No, it's pretty concentrated in the Detroit area with the Marathon refinery there, and I know when they had the refinery issues, there was a lot of discussion on that, and at this point in time, I don't hear as much as I did this past spring when we had a couple of refineries down in the Midwest, and we were experiencing some of the highest fuel costs throughout the nation right here in the state of Michigan. But that reflects that thin line there of when our infrastructure fails us, we do pay the price.
Right.
That's the area of our transmission of our electrical lines, which that's why we have to invest in tree trimming and those aspects, because when we have these storms like we just occurred, we want that that reliable source of power. And if we neglect that infrastructure and expenditures on that, we will pay the price.
We will indeed.
We'll pay up now or pay later, but
pay
there's
now
always a price
later
to be paid.
Yes. Earl's Meats time is 10:51. It's time to order your fresh Amish all-natural grade A turkeys for Thanksgiving from Earl's Meats. And let's take a look at our weather forecast. The Holland Hometown Forecast is brought to you on WHCC by Compound Door, offering you complete garage door service since 1955. Call them at 392-1155. And the weather outlook is for windy today with afternoon mix of rain and snow showers, steady to slowly falling temperatures. And for tonight, we're looking at a low of 31 with clearing skies. Tomorrow, sunshine with a high of 46. And Wednesday, a few showers with a high of 46. Right now, we're looking at 39 degrees in the Tulip City. And we're here with Roger Victory, the representative. And if you would like to give him a call this morning, ring our chimes. 395-1450 is the number. And, all right, what else is going on in Lansing?
Well, one issue, we have a wolf hunt going on currently.
Yeah, I heard that.
And my understanding, I heard this morning, I know this was an issue that we worked through with the Natural Resources Committee, but I believe there's 5 successful harvested wolves so far.
Mm-hmm.
And you have an allocation of 30-something that there has a limit on. And the way it looks like they probably won't quite meet that full quota, but time will tell. But one important thing is this will instill a little bit more of a fear of the humans in the wolf population.
Yes, it will.
The damage it's been doing in the UP from the agricultural perspective and also from the effects on pet family pets, and these wolves have been migrating closer to the metropolitan areas. So with some hopefully this with a successful wolf hunt managed by our Department of Natural Resources, that this will help to instill this fear of humans in this growing wolf population.
Mm-hmm.
So this goes along, and looks like our deer harvest is and hunting season's going along. I haven't heard any real major incidents there. This is very important too, as we travel along the highways, we see those car deer collisions and what that cost us in insurance of our automobiles. So this is a encourage everyone that will still have some opportunity to get out there and have a successful deer hunt and help manage that deer herd.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's, we're looking good there. A couple, and I noticed, too, some of the areas, the economic impact that the hunting season brings to the state.
Definitely.
Here in Michigan, but along one of the components, it's a great economic stimulator for our state. And
they live for deer hunting.
Exactly.
up there.
And helps manage that natural resources we have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But some people go right around this area here, go deer hunting here.
That's right. Yeah, because we have a great climate for it. I mean, our habitat for the deer and
right.
With their cornfields and good grasslands, too. So you see there's a good deer herd right in our area here. So and use and harvest that, because it has to be maintained. Otherwise, the population gets to be unmanageable, and then we have other disease factors that come in play. So it's important to realize that people, that for the non-hunters out there, what a service our hunters are doing for us as they
It seems
there.
That the deer herd is gradually pushing south.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, even other areas, there was a credible black bear sighting in Georgetown Township a few weeks ago.
Really?
Yep. And I even had a chance to witness, notice a beaver dam in Ottawa County. So beavers are in Ottawa County, too.
No kidding.
Exactly. And so this
trapping season?
Yeah, trapping season. And realizing now, how do we manage these this wildlife? Because when beavers come into our streams, of course, they build the dams, and what kind of impact that's going to have on the community. And you'd hate to be upstream from a newly installed beaver dam and find your basement being flooded.
Yes, you would.
And then these are things that are going to be starting to occur more and more, and what and making sure we have sound policy on that, and again managing these resources of the wild.
And they don't have to even have to be right near the river.
And I don't think they get a needed get a DEQ permit for that.
They probably don't.
No.
Well, it might encourage the trapping again.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's why too, a proper trapping of some of the, like a muskrat too. There's some more interest in that, and the impact of those animals have on the agricultural
right.
sector, and also just a degradation of our drainage systems we have here in Ottawa County. So it's important that we continue to manage that in a sound science method.
Well, that's great.
Because there's a lot of economic impact that incur if that resource is not managed correctly.
Indeed, indeed. All right. Hey, we've got a question for Roger this morning. Give us a call, 395-1450. And what do you look forward to next year for?
Well, there's a number of different issues we'll be coming across. One area is I've been talking to the Michigan Manufacturers Association and getting, and we as a state of Michigan do a lot of manufacturing in our state, and dealing with some of these byproducts. Can they be incorporated into uses of our roads? Also, instead of these byproducts going to our landfill, can we incorporate into other beneficial assets that can enter our support road construction or rebuilding some of our infrastructure? So this is an issue that we'll be taking up. I had a good demonstration at the Coopersville landfill of a specific example on this here, a use of foundry sand, and some of this some of these aspects are just no-nonsense solutions, but we'll need some modifications and hopefully to work forward there to help our manufacturing sector in the state of Michigan grow our economy and lower the unemployment.
I thought for a while we had old tires licked, but I'm not sure we have.
That seems to be a continuing issue, too, while to implement. You know, some of those old tires are trying to be incorporated back into our roads, into the asphalt formula,
right.
too. But those are always a struggle, but making sure that it's sound science, it's going to be safe for our environment. But if we can get this get these reuses in place and keeping it out of our landfills,
mm-hmm.
that our real estate's too valuable just to be having these huge dumping piles, and if we can incorporate it back into our infrastructure some more productive ways.
Think that'll come up next year?
This is something that's been brought forth, and I think we can start addressing list of those items and
mm-hmm.
get some work going forward on it.
What else might come up next year?
Oh, we continue to look on the no-fault auto insurance.
Yeah.
I know a number of callers have been calling in on that issue.
They're waiting for
especially
you.
For those retirees on fixed incomes. If you look at your insurance bills, it continues to escalate high. How do we ensure, maintaining our solid no-fault insurance system in the state of Michigan, but also giving true savings back to the policyholders? And that's where we're working on solutions there. And so I think you'll see that discussion continue to go forward and getting good solid
mm-hmm.
savings to the policyholders, but also ensuring that we have a good solid insurance system.
At least it could be maybe cut by a little bit or
mm-hmm.
limited
as far as
the payout is concerned.
That's correct. The catastrophic fund there, and should we have a cap on that process? Because there's right now there's no cap on that, and that can create a additional cost in those.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot of discussion, and I'm sure that's going to be on top of the plate going forward, too.
And we're about out of time, Roger. Thank you so much
for
being
here. Well, it's always a pleasure,
Jute. And we'll look forward to your visit next month.
I'm always eager to come in and enjoy good company with you.